This recording was made at an open meeting of the Federal Election Commission on Thursday, February 9th. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The Federal Election Commission open meeting for Thursday, February 9th, 2006 will come to order. Our first item of business is correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the correction and approval of the minutes for the open meeting of January 19th, 2006, and for the continuation of that meeting on January 23rd, 2006, as set forth in Agenda Document 06-04.
Everyone has heard the Vice Chairman's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes by the vote of all six commissioners present. Our main item of business for today is final rules for definitions of federal election activity. This is the sixth of the rulemakings as required by the Shays litigation. And we have two late submitted documents. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the suspension of the rules for the timely submission of documents to consider Agenda Documents 06-05 and 06-05A.
Everyone's heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes by the vote of all six commissioners present. And for counsel's office here to discuss where we are on this rulemaking, Ms. Pearl. Ms. Pearl, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda Document 0605 is the draft final rules and explanation and justification for the revisions to the definition of federal election activity at 11 CFR 100.24. This is in response to the district's court decision in Shays v. FEC. Specifically, the document final rules in front of you eliminates the exception for non-federal candidate associations from the definitions of get-out-the-vote activity and voter identification, removes the reference to within 72 hours of an election in the first example of get-out-the-vote activity, amends the definition of voter identification to include acquiring information about potential voters, including but not limited to obtaining voter lists, and also to specify that the date of acquisition of the list determines whether the activity is within the FEA time period, retains the current definition of voter registration activity, and finally removes the odd-numbered year restriction on the FEA time period for special elections. Agenda Document 06-05A in front of the Commission is a draft interim final rule that adds an exception to the definition of in connection with an election in which a candidate for federal office appears on the ballot. This is tailored to communications in connection with a non-federal election held on a date separate from the date of any federal election, and which refer exclusively to non-federal candidates, ballot referenda or initiatives, or the date, location, and polling hours of the non-federal election. This document also includes amendments to Agenda Document 06-05, the main final rules document, for pages 22 and 23, which delete the discussion on those pages and replace it with a reference to the separate interim final rules addressing the issue. If this document is adopted, the Commission should also direct OGC to prepare a draft ENJ for the interim final rule, which would also seek public comment on it. I'd be happy to answer any questions the Commissioner may have on these documents. Thank you.
Ms. Pearl, thank you. And before we have a discussion, I just want to personally thank everybody who's been involved in the preparation of these two agenda documents. I especially want to thank the Office of General Counsel as well as the various commissioner offices that have been working very hard over the last weeks to prepare these documents for our consideration today. I just wanted to personally thank everybody on behalf of the agency, and I think they're very sound documents, and we'll have a discussion today, but I did want to start the morning with that personal thanks. With that discussion of these two documents before us, Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I want to echo your comments. Everybody has really been working very long hours to try and get through these rulemakings, and I know, unlike me, for some of you, it's deja vu all over again. I want to actually, in addition to thanking the staff, who I know have been working very hard on this, I also want to particularly thank the chairman, who was a little bit distracted this week by having been summoned to testify before Congress yesterday, and despite that has been very actively involved in this. And, you know, I think that there are probably a lot of agencies where the chairman being called to testify before Congress the day before a rulemaking was scheduled for a vote, particularly on the schedule that we're on, might have caused some delay in the schedule, but we didn't let that happen, and you didn't let that happen, Mr. Chairman. And as you said, this is 6 out of 9, and we're just rolling on through and knocking them off one after another. So I particularly want to express my appreciation to you as well as to the staff for this. And I'll have some other stuff about the document, but I don't know whether you wanted to address other issues first.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Fortunately for me, I was able to testify with the vice chairman. So we sort of had a joint appearance there yesterday. But I'm very comfortable with the documents we have before us, and I know there may be some technical corrections and other types of stylistic edits, so I figured I'd just open the floor for any proposed amendments to what we have before us. We'll have to decide sort of the order of things. In some respects, we may need to vote first on the proposed interim final rules regarding municipal elections, because whatever we do on that will have an impact on what we do at the end of the baseline document. So with that, I'm comfortable opening the floor to discussion and comment. Commissioner Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to, first of all, echo the chairman's and Commissioner Weintraub's comments to the staff. And sometimes it may sound odd to some of the people in the audience. I know it won't to people who served on the commission, either as commissioners or staff. We're not kind of just patting ourselves on the back, but we're expressing appreciation to some staff who've been here until 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and tracking the email traffic and, you know, so on like that, and people who really have worked extraordinary amounts of time. If you don't think the product reflects it, well, I'm sorry, but it really would just be remiss by those of us who are benefiting from this if we didn't say that. And so that's, if it puzzles people, that's why we're doing it, because we've seen the work and people are putting in some pretty extraordinary hours, and I certainly appreciate it. The agenda document 0605A, the municipal election exception, was put together at my request, essentially because the statute is written as to voter identification and get out the vote to affect elections at which there are federal candidates on the ballot. Now, for voter registration, the statute's written differently. It's simply 180 days from the date of the relevant federal election. And so that's pretty easy. The commission itself chose for in connection with an election at which a federal candidate is on the ballot to use a time period window. That's not in the statute. And it created a bit of an anomaly, because there are municipal elections, and there could be state special elections at time periods that are within the windows that we've established. And as I read the statute doesn't intend for us to regulate those municipal-only elections where there aren't any federal candidates on the ballot. And so I felt like we had, in essence, in order to construe the statute properly, we had to account for that, and we had to come up with some way of separating activity in connection with the non-federal candidate elections, I'll call them, and the federal elections. In the notice, we proposed putting what I'll call holes in the windows. And that proved unsatisfactory for a couple of reasons. One is it became very complicated. So you had the windows and holes in the windows, and it wasn't quite clear who those applied to. Also, it was criticized, and I think fairly, for at least possibly creating a route to circumvention. We have to include voter lists, and it hadn't been my intention, for instance, to allow a state party committee to buy its voter list on May 15th, because there were municipal elections on May 20th and have that fall out of the rules. I don't think the way we had written the windows would have allowed that, but it certainly would have created that possibility of some ambiguity. And so I tried a suggestion that I think was intended to be, anyway, much more narrowly focused on these non-federal candidate elections. I think this is not only required by the statute, but I think it's important for a couple of reasons. First, there are a number of states where there are a lot of municipalities that have municipal elections in the spring or in the summer or in the early fall of even-numbered years. In my home state of Virginia, every municipality in the state has elections in May of an even-numbered year on a date separate from the federal elections and a date separate from the federal primaries, which in Virginia are in June. The same is true, the rule isn't as universal in other states, but a number of municipalities in other states, including some large cities like Orlando, Florida, have these spring and summer even numbered year elections. And so it's not something that is a kind of minor problem or issue. Also, in the revised regulations, we are revoking an exemption for slates of state and local candidates. And in many cases with these local elections, the voter ID and get out the vote efforts are done by candidate slates, not necessarily by the state and local parties. Under the old rule, when we exempted candidate slates, it wasn't as much of a problem. Under the new rule, without this exemption, a nonpartisan slate of candidates for city council running in a spring or summer election of an even-numbered year would be covered by the FEA rules for what is to me no discernible purpose and, in my view, in a way that's not consistent with the statute. And that's why I had drafted some language, and council's office was very helpful in looking at it and refining it a little bit to try to get this done. I've suggested that it go out as an interim final rule because we're worried about getting a rule in place for the fall elections and the primaries that are going on, and yet these municipal elections are also going on right now. And so it wouldn't really be satisfactory to wait and put something else out for comment and take 30 days for that and so on, because we would be past at that point most of these elections. But by doing it as an interim final rule, we would have the opportunity to get some comment on it and to refine it if necessary. So in essence, we would be able to do something for this year that I think is reasonably narrowly targeted. But if we haven't gotten it quite refined enough, we would have a second chance. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Mason. Discussion, why don't we begin then, I guess, with a discussion of the municipal issue, because it is a discrete issue, and then we can take it from there. Discussion on Commissioner Mason's proposal. Okay. Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I was waiting for the other side of the table, but
whoever wants to jump in.
I just want to say I completely support this. I think if we issue a main regulation in this area that puts us in the position as a federal agency of imposing these restrictions on federal election activity on purely municipal elections, elections that don't occur on the same date as a federal election, that don't have a federal official on the ballot, that we are acting not just outside of the statute, but in a way to me that is very unconstitutional, because we're imposing federal regulations on a purely local election. And I just don't see how we can pass this main regulation without this kind of an exemption.
Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to echo the comments of the other commissioners about the amount of work that's gone into this as a newcomer. It's been impressive to me to see how hard everybody works and discusses every word and phrase and comma and goes back and forth in multiple emails, and it's been very refreshing to see really the hard work that's put into this in such a collegial way. On this particular matter, I think it's reasonable to adopt this as an interim rule. Commissioner Mason has, I think, tightened it up to the point where it can't be abused, as far as I can see, and it is an interim rule for further comments, so we can look and see where their comment comes from it, but it makes sense in view of the timing and the narrow way in which it's drawn to support it, it seems to me. The word exclusively covers all of the subparagraphs, and I think if it's followed in that regard, why it's probably reasonable to go ahead and support it.
Thank you, Commissioner Walther. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very sympathetic to what Commissioner Mason is trying to do. I mean, my heart is really with him. But I'm a little concerned about procedurally doing it this way. The words only came together in the last less than 24 hours. And if we had thought this one through, and I mean, this is the disadvantage of doing things on a tight timeline. If we thought this one through and put it in the NPRM, and we could have had some discussion at the hearing about it and seen what pros and cons people had with it, I think I could feel a lot more comfortable about it. I'm not 100% sure that I appreciate that you're proposing it as an interim final rule so that people will have the opportunity to comment, but I guess I'd rather get the comments before the vote. given the way the law is written, given the way the courts have construed the law, I'm not 100% sure that this doesn't this wouldn't have the potential for some spillover effect in federal elections. You know, you identify voters and then you go back to we're talking about party activities, and the party is obviously interested in supporting all of their candidates, federal, state, and local. And they're probably going to go back to those same voters that they've ID'd in the municipal elections and see if maybe they can talk them into voting in the federal elections. Now, is that enough of a spillover effect that we should really be worried about it? I could probably be, personally, I could probably be persuaded that it isn't, but I'm not 100% convinced that the courts would see it that way. I probably could be persuaded to vote for this if we had had the opportunity to comment first and I'd had the opportunity to explore this with some of the concerned parties. But I think doing it this way, as sympathetic as I am to what you're trying to achieve, and I really am, I think I'm probably going to vote against this amendment. My heart won't break if I lose, which I sort of suspect I'm going to, but that's okay.
For whatever it's worth in terms of my sense of it, I do think it's important to note that in the NPRM there was a proposal regarding municipal elections, and really Commissioner Mason's effort here is an outgrowth of the proposals that were in the NPRM and did seek comment on whether or not the agency had the authority to craft an exemption for municipal elections. And I do share Commissioner Mason's thoughts that particularly when we're dealing with elections by definition at which absolutely no federal candidates are on the ballot. And I do think it's important to note that one of the major proposals in the NPRM regarding municipal elections would have been broader than that. It would have been an exemption within certain time periods that would have applied for municipal elections even if some federal candidates were on the ballot. So in that respect, the proposal that Commissioner Mason is advocating is narrower and more narrowly tailored than some of the other alternatives. I can see these are difficult issues, and how the courts would come out on them is always hard to discern. But I do believe that it's a narrowly tailored proposal here. It would only cover purely municipal elections in which no federal candidates are or can be on the ballot, and really is targeted to protecting that type of grassroots electoral activity and not have it be covered by the federal election activity rules. So I think it's a well-reasoned proposal. It's narrower than some of the proposals in the NPRM, and I think it's worthy of support. Commissioner Mason?
I appreciate the chairman's comment. I do want to differ slightly or make one point, and that is that while this is written as an exemption to the reg, it's not an exemption to the statute. It's an exercise in trying to construe the meaning of the phrase in connection with an election at which a federal candidate's on the ballot. And so it's not like we're taking something that's covered in the statute and, you know, and pulling it back out, but rather trying to define, okay, what's the dividing line between activity in connection with an election where there's a federal candidate on the ballot and activity in connection with an election where there isn't a federal candidate on the ballot. So the importance of writing it as an exemption is that it does make it narrowly tailored. That is, we have the general window, and this exception only applies to these specified activities. But
I think that's a very fair point, and I appreciate it, and you're absolutely right. It's tied off of the in connection with a statutory language, and, of course, one of the regulations that we did pass in 2002 construed that provision, the in connection with provision, and set up some time frames, and it was not challenged in court. This would sort of be an outgrowth of that exercise in terms of the appropriate range of that statutory provision.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to cut off any further discussion if there is any, but I am prepared to move adoption of the interim final rule that's laid out in Agenda Document 0605A and to direct the Office of General Counsel to prepare a draft explanation and justification to be circulated on tally. And I guess I can just leave it at that, and we can amend the E&J for the other document at an appropriate point.
Commissioner Mason has moved approval of agenda document number 0605-A containing interim final rules regarding municipal elections, and has further moved to instruct the Office of General Counsel to prepare an explanation and justification for those rules to be circulated on tally. Further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
No. Motion passes by a vote of 4-2 with Commissioners Von Spakovsky, Mason, Toner, and Walther voting in favor, the Vice Chairman and Commissioner Weintraub voting no. I guess, as I understand it, our next point of business then will be to return to the baseline document. And Commissioner Mason, do you have, and I know counsel had prepared some text that I guess would address the explanation and justification on pages 21 and 22 in light of the municipal election regulations. Would counsel like to briefly discuss that issue? Ms. Pearl?
Yes, the main document on the E&J on page 22, it would be starting with line 4 on page 22 and continuing through line 10 on page 23, basically removing the entire discussion in that main document of this municipal election issue and instead inserting the language on agenda document 0605A, which reads, the NPRM also sought comment on limited exceptions to the Type 2 FEA time period in 11 CFR 100.24A1, a cite to the NPRM. The Commission received several comments on the issues raised in the NPRM, and the Commission is promulgating an interim final rule in a separate rulemaking to address these issues. This language could be put into this E&J, and this main document could be published in the Federal Register with that cross-reference within the interim final rules and the additional E&J for the interim final rules to be published at a later date once the Commission has approved the document.
And Ms. Pearl, where would you insert that text in agenda document number 0605?
It would be inserted on page 22, line 4.
And then we would then delete the text currently appearing page 22, line 4 through
Yes, through page 23, line 10.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Mason.
If it's your preference, I'd be happy to make that motion now, or we could include it in whatever motion you want to adopt the final rule.
If there's no objection, I think we could proceed and adopt.
Okay.
Basically, you want to make that motion, which is without objection.
I move to approve changes to the draft explanation and justification at pages 22 and 23 of agenda document 0605, as outlined by the council.
Okay. Any without objection, we will proceed in that fashion. Other discussion of the baseline document, Commissioner Weintraub.
Are we ready to move on to other issues, Mr. Chairman? I don't want to cut off any other discussion. I just had a couple of changes that I wanted to suggest because, and I have to admit, this is my fault, because I had added some language into the draft, and on rereading it this morning, I was concerned that it could be misconstrued. The point that I was trying to make in, and I'm talking about language on page 10 and on page 12, the point that I was trying to make in distinguishing mere encouragement from assisting is that, on the one hand, I don't want to have people have to worry about, you know, speeches that have nothing to do with anything that's implicates FEA, except that at the end somebody says, don't forget to vote, don't forget to register to vote, and it's just kind of a tagline, that kind of incidental speech. The other circumstance that I was concerned about was if we receive testimony from Mark Brewer, among others, that a lot of local party organizations are just sort of getting out of the business of voter registration in GOTV because they don't have the resources to comply with BCRA. They, you know, requires lawyers, it requires accountants, and they really operate separately from the state and national parties, and they just have decided they're not going to do that. Given that they're not doing it, I wanted to be clear that if somebody calls up the state or local party and there's some beleaguered staff person sitting at the phones and wanting to be helpful, somebody calls up and says, you know, I just want to know how I register to vote, we wouldn't want to create a situation where the person said, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to answer that question. Now, if they're not going to say, you know, if they're not going to provide detailed information, if they're not going to be helping people to fill out the forms, I think that's the kind of individualized assistance that we were aiming to capture in the rule, is if they are providing that. But I think it would be very frustrating for people and downright rude if they couldn't say, at least say, hey, I can't help you with that because we're just not doing that for legal reasons, but, you know, go call the Secretary of State's office or, you know, check out this URL and you can find the form. And if you have any questions with that, you'll have to call somebody else. I can't help you fill it out. But just so they could answer the question and provide general public information. And I was concerned when I read through what I had drafted that somebody with a suspicious turn of mind might read that and say, aha, they're providing a recipe for circumvention. They are saying you can run phone banks, you can do billboards, you can do direct mail operations as long as you're really careful about what you say and you only provide publicly available information. And that wasn't the goal of the language that I originally drafted. So I just wanted to be clear that we really are talking only about protecting this kind of incidental speech and taglines and not big operations that would require disbursements that would require, under the law, I think, to be paid for with federal funds or with a mix of federal and Levin funds. So that's a long-winded way of explaining why I just wanted to clarify on page 10, line 5, I wanted to delete, let's see, I was going to do something broader, but I was persuaded by one of my colleagues to do something narrower. Delete the phrase on line 5 of page 10, or the exchange of, and substitute, after incidental speech, add in, comma, such as responding to voter inquiries by providing. And then it would go into publicly available information, as it already says in the draft. Got that, Madam Secretary? We all clear about that. And then on page 12...
Maybe we'll do a quick motion on that.
Sure.
We'll get that done. So the line would read, page 10, line starting on 4, it would read, the final rules regulate actual voter registration activity without capturing incidental speech, comma, such as responding to voter inquiries by providing publicly available information, then continue as is.
Right.
Okay. Any objection to amending the document in that fashion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Okay,
next amendment.
The next one that I was, again, for the same purpose, to make sure that people don't misconstrue the purpose of the language, and I think actually it doesn't really change much and simplifies it. It's always better to be shorter. On line 12, page 12, I would delete the word include and substitute for that go beyond, and then delete, put a period after registration, delete the parenthetical, and delete the next sentence through definition on line 14 so that it would read, both examples go beyond general statements encouraging voter registration, period, in example one, and it continues on from there. And again, I just wanted to clarify that this is not intended to provide permission to the state and local parties to run major phone banks where the information provided is, don't forget to vote, we really need you to register, here's where you can find the forms, here's where, you know, here's the Division of Elections where you can get more information. And, you know, if there's a big operation like that and it's involving disbursements by the state or local party, again, I think that that would be captured by FEA. But what I'm trying to protect is just kind of incidental, don't forget to vote, don't forget to register to vote language that just is ubiquitous in the election year.
Madam Secretary, do you have the proposed amendments? Okay, on page 12, lines 12 to 14. Again, any objection to amending the document in that fashion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
Commissioner Wancho, I feel like I'm in a strange situation because you put this language in to begin with, and I think your first idea was the better idea than now taking it out. I don't have a problem with changing this to say that both examples go beyond general statements encouraging voter registration, but I think that next sentence that you put in originally where it says, however, general statements of encouragement alone are not enough to trigger the FEA definition, I think that's very important. I mean, I think it helps further explain what we're talking about, and I don't really believe that can be misconstrued in the fashion I think you're fearful of now, and I really think we should keep that in. So I'm going to object to that second half of the questioner's change.
Okay. Discussion.
May I?
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you. This is an odd situation. I put the language in, and now Mr.
Where's your language?
Commissioner Von Spakovsky is fighting me.
Well, we like your language. Your language can be good.
I'm really glad that you like the language. And I don't think it really changes anything substantively to take the language out. It just sort of, given the history of this commission and the way people tend to assume that any language that we put in is put in for some nefarious purpose, and it really wasn't my intent to be nefarious or to sneaky or to provide a recipe for circumvention or anything like that. I think that it is true that general statements of encouragement alone are not enough to trigger the FEA definition, but I'm concerned that leaving it in right there, right after the example about the phone bank, might lead somebody to believe erroneously that as long as they're really clever about how they word it, they can still do the phone bank with non-federal funds, and I don't think they can. So I guess if I have to make a motion, I'll make a motion, and we'll see, you know, how many people just really love this language and can't live without it, and how many people are willing to let it go.
Commissioner, I'm trying to save you from yourself.
I know. I appreciate that.
Okay, Commissioner Mason.
Let me try this suggestion. Perhaps. And that is because I agree with Commissioner Von Spakovsky that sentence is true and useful and important, and we're a little bit in the odd position where I sort of feel the opposite of Commissioner Weintraub, that if we took it out at this point, that would be somehow suggested. So my question is, if we moved it
I'm never adding any language again. That's it.
if we move that sentence to following example three.
Which sentence? I'm sorry.
The sentence, however, general statements of encouragement alone are not enough to trigger the FEA definition. If we move it to example three, which is an example of that, a general statement.
What page is that, Commissioner? I'm sorry.
Top of page 13.
So, like at the end of line six?
Yes. Yes. That would, you know, that would make the point of the distinction that we're trying to make without sort of confusing or mucking up the examples number one and two, which actually run the other way. In other words, what we're saying is examples one and two are FEA. Example three is not. That may be a better place to put the general point and avoid the potential confusion.
It works for me.
Commissioner Mason, as always, your insights are invaluable. So as I understand it, what we would now do is rewrite line 12 on page 12 so that it says both examples go beyond general statements encouraging voter registration, period. And then we would move the sentence, however, general statements of encouragement alone are not enough to trigger the FEA definition, to the end of line 6, page 13.
Yeah, and there I don't think we'd even need the however.
Fine. I think that works for me. I think that clarifies any potential confusion, and what a great idea.
Okay, so... Commissioner Mason has proposed a third way. Tony Blair would be very proud. So as I understand it...
You're going to get me in trouble now.
Well, he's a fine prime minister. Page 12, lines 12 to 13, the text would read, both examples go beyond general statements of encouraging voter registration, period. And then the phrase, the sentence, general statements of encouragement alone are not enough to trigger the FEA definitions, will be moved from page 12, lines 13 to 14, and inserted on page 13, line 6 at the end.
And if anybody is still confused, they can go back and read the transcript of this very illuminating discussion.
Highly illuminating. Madam Secretary, does that work for you? Okay. any objections to proceeding in that fashion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Oh, I have one tiny...
Commissioner, please.
I don't know whether this would fall under technical and conforming, but just in case, I've been... This one just keeps slipping out of the drafts, but on page 11... Line 21, I wanted to underscore the word R, and on page 12...
The last word R in that sentence, Commissioner, is that these examples, R?
Yeah, it's not the last word. The second R, yes. The following examples of activity that are underscored, type 1 FEA voter registration, because I don't want anybody to be confused about which the examples mean.
Sorry, which line are you on? I'm sorry.
Line 21, page 11.
Okay, great.
The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth word. Underscore
okay.
The eighth word. And then on page 12, line 21, underscore the word not. It might be a technical correction. I'm not sure, so I just thought I'd do it at the table just in case.
Okay. Any objections to proceeding in that fashion? Hearing none, so ordered. Other discussion? Do we have a motion on the document? Commissioner Weintraub.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the document as amended at the table here today.
Commissioner Weintraub has moved approval of agenda document number 06-05, and I take it...
Along with technical and conforming amendments.
Any technical and conforming amendments that may be necessary. Any discussion on Commissioner Weintraub's motion? Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I don't want to delay us, and I, of course, intend to vote for this, but I do want to put on the record that... you know, we have to put in force a regulation like this because this is what the statute says. But I just think it is ludicrous to think that the kind of voter registration activity and get-out-the-vote activity that state and local parties do is somehow a corrupting influence in federal elections. We've been concerned for 30 years in this country with turnout getting lower and lower in elections. And the way we are now going to be restricting and scaring local and state parties from engaging in this kind of activity, I think, is very bad for our election system. And I frankly don't know what in the world Congress was thinking about when they passed this particular statute. Again, we don't have any choice. We have to enforce it as an agency. But I feel frankly, very bad that we are going to have to put in place this kind of a regulation and enforce it.
Thank you, Commissioner Bonsikowski. Further discussion on Commissioner Weintraub's motion to adopt it? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion passes by the vote of all six commissioners present, and the regulations are adopted. That completes our business for today. And as I indicated at the outset, this agency action today finishes the sixth rulemaking as required by the Shays litigation, leaving three rulemakings remaining. And next on the agency's docket will be the rulemaking regarding solicit and direct. Any further discussion? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.